This is the official EFL podcast.
Hello and welcome again to the official EFL podcast and a special edition of the show we have in store for you today. We're previewing this weekend's record-breaking Checker Trade Trophy final. Around 85,000 people are expected at Wembley this weekend. We'll be getting the views from both the Portsmouth and Sunderland camps. With the international break now over, we'll also be previewing the return of the Sky Bet Championship. Firstly though, a reminder of how Portsmouth and Sunderland booked their place in the final.
Whistle blows, Pompey have got their own wall, Evans strikes it into the net! Gareth Evans has given Portsmouth the lead.
Curtis coming in for the left-hand touchline, finding the feet of Gareth Evans. Evans shifting it to the far post. Thompson in behind, back across, goal and into the net. Ollie Hawkins has a second for Portsmouth.
The ball down in the box. Can he get a shot away? Curtis going for the dead ball line into the corner. What an effort from Rhoda Curtis. Portsmouth are heading to Wembley.
Is it the man in space whose power? It's a good ball from Power as well. Here's Will Grigg, 1-0 Sunderland, just before half-time. It's a decent effort as well on the follow-up. And it's turned in for 2-0 by Lewis Morgan. Sunderland are heading to Wembley. Jack Ross has steered his team to the final of the Checker Trade Trophy.
So, Portsmouth beating Bury and Sunderland winning at Bristol Rovers in the semis set up the final. Let's start with the Pompey camp. Here's manager Kenny Jackett speaking ahead of Sunday's match.
So, Kenny, here we are, everything out of the way and just looking forward to Wembley.
Yeah, very much so. Good win at the weekend and, you know, we put the league away and, as I said, look forward to this final. One-off game anyway, a different competition, one that we've done well to get through on. You know, seven games as been, you know, hard earned this Wembley appearance, and we were pleased with that. But similarly, now we have to concentrate, get our game head on, and get all the organisation, the distractions, if you were, out the way early in the week, and treat it like another game, and do everything we can to finish what's been a strong competition for us this season with a win.
It's easy to treat it like another game because there's so much more concentration on it and people are interested in it.
Well, if you want to be successful in football, then you have to find a way, and that's good. Yeah, that's very good. These are big games, are big challenges, and you know, we have to enjoy the challenge, you know, not underestimate it at all, but we have to enjoy the challenge, and it is a big challenge this week, and against a, you know, a very good Sunderland side. I think it's a good competition. I understand it's you know, it's got criticism, but I think the overlap of the 21s and then the, you know, the lower division clubs, if you like, I think that's a good one. I think it's good for development on both sides. You know, we've used it for that at the right time, where you can put, you know, maybe one or two promising kids in with a group of senior pros. So that's good. And obviously from the 21s, it gives them the opportunity to, you know, play against and at the league grounds, which they don't necessarily get. So I think it's a good competition. And as I said, you know, the key to it is realising if you do well, you can get through to Wembley, which is great for, you know, whichever club gets there.
Do you have any idea in your own mind of your side at the moment? Or are you still very much in the process of weighing things up?
No, you definitely know where you want to go. The only grey area that I've got at the moment is obviously Ronan Curtis, and he'll train tomorrow and I'll have a look at him. I have, you know, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday and Saturday. So he'll need to train over a number of days to see how he is, see how comfortable he is with things, and most importantly for me to assess him and see whether he's ready or not. Other than that, you know, we're not waiting on anybody necessarily. The group are outside training and looking forward to the game.
What's the timetable? Do you go up to Wembley, obviously, on Saturday and take it from there?
Yeah, we will do. We'll treat it as far as we can, a normal away game. Now that will be the case, and in terms of getting our organisation right, yes, and you know, Saturday will be a training day for us, and as you say, after training we'll go up and stay near Wembley.
Is there anything to be anxious about, or should you just enjoy it?
Well, you know, you are going to be nervous, there is no doubt about that, and right that you should be in this situation. It's getting the right balance, and for myself and the staff, making sure that you know, we give the players the right information, keep them concentrating on the right things. You know, that's a big thing, and not necessarily the distractions.
Are you impressed that they're playing in front of over 80,000? You don't get to do that too many times in anyone's career.
I think that's there. I don't think we, you know, need to necessarily stress that. You know, for the players, they're aware of it, and, you know, I'm sure excited by it as well. But, you know, we need to keep the feet on the floor and, as I said, make sure that the concentration is on the most important things. And you know, it's a chance, it's an opportunity. You know, we're looking at the end part of our season. It's good, we have so much to play for. And there's, you know, many clubs in all divisions that will be looking now to get through to the summer and just build again and have a good year next year. We're not like that. You know, our season is ahead of us. And, you know, we want to achieve big things and make it a great season and a memorable season. We want that. And we have to realise that opportunity is there and do everything we can to take it.
Now, joining us while also looking after his 18-month-old daughter, Bonnie, is Portsmouth's Jamal Lowe. Jamal, has the feeling really sunk in yet that you're going to be playing at the National Stadium? You're going to be playing at Wembley, a place you've never played at, but you've got a fond memory of in your childhood, of course, growing up not too far away from it.
I'm not sure it's quite sunken in yet, because that's just the way football is. It's always, there's always a game to concentrate on, but I think when we finally get there and maybe you start warming up and the fans are in the stadium and that's when it all starts to kick in. What a big day it is and how many people are actually going to be there.
For you as well, I mean, just tell us about your story as well. You actually grew up not far from Wembley, didn't you? Did you ever imagine that you'd play there?
I'd always wished to play there. I wouldn't say it was looking likely where my career was heading, but yeah, I grew up in Harrow, so that's 15 minutes away from Wembley. Spent my childhood playing for Barnet FC, and you can see Wembley Stadium from Barnet's training ground, so you could see it every day at training. Every time I got on a train to go to central London or anything, you get on a train, you go past it. So it's definitely going to be a big achievement.
Seeing such an iconic stadium like that on a day-to-day, was that something that helped inspire you to become a professional footballer? Did it give you sort of that motivation that you were going to get there one day, maybe?
I wouldn't say that now, because I said that's all I've wanted to do my whole life, really, was to be a footballer. But seeing the stadium and being so close to it definitely is an eye-opener to how close that type of occasion can be, like a big stadium like that. And you've seen players come up, you see like the FA Trophy, and you get two Conference Prem teams, or you get a League Two team, and they get to go to Wembley, and it kind of gives you that encouragement and that hope that you might get the chance to play there.
Because you've come originally from non-league, you've played in the lower leagues. Just explain that sort of journey for us. It, you know, it's not been straightforward, has it, coming to Portsmouth now and having this chance at Wembley?
No, it's definitely took the long way around. Started off at Barnet and went on about five or six loans before eventually leaving Barnet and signing from Conference South Club to Conference South Club, team after team, month after month. And then it's only when I got to Hampton and Richmond where I finally had a bit of stability and some consistency in my game, which sprang the interest of a few clubs, including Portsmouth. So I'm grateful that that happened.
And of course, to coincide with your non-league career, you also had to become a teacher for a while, didn't you? Can you just explain how that came about?
That came from someone I used to play with. I used to play with a guy called John Nurse at Barnet, and he was starting up a coaching school, which just started off as like a little half-term camp. So it was nothing during the term, and it was just a half-term, a week of full work. And at first, that was all I could have. That was all I could get. And then kids started to like the course, and the school that we was using to do the course in invited us to do their PE lessons. And from there, it just developed and developed, and I became the full-time PE teacher in the school. So it just started off from a half-term camp, and the school liked it, the kids liked it, and they just invited us in full-time. But I needed that to get by in everyday life, because some non-league money's great, but then some non-league money's not so great, so it wasn't enough for me to pay the bills.
I was going to say, juggling the two must have been quite difficult at the time, I imagine, for you.
Yeah, of course, because obviously you train Tuesday and Thursday nights, so say you got to be at training for 7 o'clock. You might have only finished work at 6 that day, and then you've got to get to training and put you all in training, because you've only got 2 days of training, so you've got to kind of get that fitness. You've kind of got to get that fitness in a short space of time, so it is difficult.
And family life, I guess, is a juggling act as well for you now, I take it.
Yeah, of course. We've got an 18-month-old who just wants to take all your energy while she's awake. And my missus is pregnant as well. So, quite heavily pregnant. She's due next week. So, obviously, she can't be running around after the little one all the time. So, it's, again, a juggle of training, get home from training, and run around with the little one until she's tired, basically. And then start again. But that's part of life, I guess.
Well, is your missus actually going to be able to make it to Wembley to see the Checkatrade Trophy final then, if she's obviously so heavily pregnant? Obviously, the birth of your child is a massive moment in your life, but also this is another massive moment in your life, playing in this final, isn't it?
She's got a ticket, and I'm hoping that she can make it. She's open that she can, but if you look at the minute, she'll be there. But as you know, the baby can come at any second now, so... But I'm hoping the baby waits till like Monday, Tuesday or something so she can come and enjoy the game.
Yeah, I take it, you know, this is a massive week or so in your life now, isn't it? You can't really compare it, can you, to anything you've experienced before, I suppose?
Nah, it's going to be crazy to play in front of that many fans, to play in Wembley Stadium in a cup final, and then to have the birth of our second child. It's going to be a great week and a half, so you can't complain at all.
Just tell me in terms of the season with Portsmouth so far. I mean, it's a big football club, and you know you're doing well in League One at the moment, and obviously got the Wembley final, the Checkatrade Trophy final on the horizon. I suppose it's a good time to be at the club, isn't it?
Yeah, it's a great time. As I said, the season's gone well. We've started very well. We're in a good position, and it's just now seeing if we can finish the season with some success, and hopefully that means winning in the final and getting promotion. That would be an extremely successful season, so that's the aim.
Because, of course, this Checkatrade Trophy final on Sunday could be your first of two appearances at Wembley this season, with a potential run in the Sky Bet playoffs on the horizon. It really is all action for you guys this season, isn't it? Non-stop.
Yeah, literally, it could be. I'm hoping it's the first and last of this season, because hopefully we can get into the automatics, but of course, that's a big possibility. So maybe that might help, that experience of playing there. So if we do get there for the second time, I guess maybe some of those first-time nerves or the noise levels and all that kind of things, you can kind of take that into account, because you've almost done it before, but there'll always be nerves playing at Wembley Stadium.
And of course, it's such a big test, isn't it, against one of your promotion rivals in Sunderland, another massive football club. What would it be like to come up against them again in front of a record-breaking crowd for the Checkatrade Trophy final at Wembley?
That's it. It's one of our promotion rivals, so it'll be a nice tester. We've also got them again in the league, so it'll be nice to have a good test against a good team who's doing well again this season. So it'll be nice. It'll be a great occasion, because they've rang 40 plus thousand fans, and so have Portsmouth. So it'll be a good day all around.
To play in front of 40,000 Portsmouth fans who are there to support you for, you know, the first time they've been to Wembley as well for 9 years. I mean, how much more responsibility does that, you know, put onto your shoulders, playing in front of such an expectant crowd who are willing you on so much, with, you know, with 40,000 of them there?
Well, it's just going to be, it's a day where you want to deliver for the fans, for yourself, for your family. It's a day you want to deliver for everyone. They've come out in their numbers, just like they do for every home game and every away game. So it's a thing where you just want to provide a good performance for them to watch, and something to be proud of.
What would it mean to you, though, for the journey that you've been on in terms of your footballing career and your life as well? What would it mean to you to be able to be successful at Wembley, to have that memory of being victorious at somewhere which is so synonymous in the world of football?
It'd be amazing. It'd be a massive, massive moment in my career, in my life. It'd be a very proud moment as well, to play there, to win there, to... Like, the feeling to be able to get a trophy at the end of the game at Wembley Stadium would be amazing. So it's all to play for.
Well, Jamal, thank you very much for your time. It sounds as if you're quite busy at the moment yourself, so I'll let you get off, and good luck at Wembley on Sunday.
Thank you very much, mate. Cheers.
The Checkatrade Trophy.
Jamal Lowe there with 18-month-old Bonnie busy in the background. Now time to focus on Sunderland. Here's their manager, Jack Ross.
Jack, you were told, well, I think the instruction at the start of the season was to take this competition seriously. Mm. You have done. You're in the final now. Is that reward for everything you've done so far?
I think so. I think we... I think I've said often enough that I was made aware quite quickly that this competition provides us with a realistic opportunity to get to Wembley, and then what getting to Wembley would mean to the club and its fan base. And I think that's been reflected in the number of tickets have sold and the demand for them. And also to get to this stage of this competition, you've got to win a lot of games. It was a long competition through the group stage and into the knockout stages of it, and a lot of different challenges within it. So, hard work, a lot of effort goes into it. It was satisfying to get to this point, and the truth is now the only way we'll really enjoy it properly is if we go and win on Sunday.
Is there a pressure on this with the amount of fans who are travelling and I suppose expecting?
Probably just the same pressure that you feel every single week being involved with Sunderland. I think that expectation on you to win every week is there all the time. We've always accepted that and acknowledged it. What we've had to do as a group and as a staff and players is learn to deal with it, and in the main I think they've done terrifically well at that. So the great thing in going on an occasion like Sunday, I don't think that pressure really changes much. Every single game, particularly on a fortnightly basis, we play at home and the number of fans we play in front of and the expectation from them is that we'll win the game, so we need to go and deal with that again on Sunday. The responsibility of bringing success to the club again is born on my shoulders first and foremost, and then as much as I'm trying to protect the players from that, they're aware of it. We've never hidden from that, but to balance that out, the rewards and the adulation they'll get if they bring success on Sunday will certainly be worth it.
Were you surprised when you were told or asked at the start of the season to take this seriously and play a strong team? Were you surprised?
There was no instruction as to the type of team we would play in the game. It was more, you know, being made aware that this was an opportunity for us to win silverware, but I think there was also a financial benefit to the club as well, and given everything that's happened to the club in recent times, then you can't ignore that. My job can't be simply to be one that only looks at what happens on the football pitch. I have an interest in how the whole club is run and an awareness that part of my responsibility is to try and help that. Beyond that, there's never been any interference or suggestion from any of the owners about the teams we've selected, and I think if you look through the competition, we've used a large variance of players through it, and that's been adjusted according to the challenge we've faced, and it's worked out. If we could win Sunday, then the competition's probably been perfect for us, because we've had a number of young players have played in it, we've got game time out of players that haven't been playing regularly, and we've negotiated their way through the different types of fixtures, so just this one last hurdle to go, if you like, and it would be a really good competition for us. We've got a record, a long unbeaten record now that we're proud of. I think the last time we lost was against Portsmouth in December in all competitions, so we take pride in that and we want to continue that. I certainly don't think winning on Sunday would have any massive bearing on what lies ahead of us in the league's fixtures. We've been very keen to stress to the players that 10 games remaining, 9 league games, the final on Sunday. The reality is they're all huge games for us at the moment. The importance of winning on Sunday is more trying to continue the momentum we have at winning games. The actual success of winning the competition, I don't think, would have too much impact upon the following league games.
You've spoken about Wembley quite a lot during the course of the season. Now it's actually here, and you've had a few days to actually savour it because you haven't had a league game. Has that made it a little bit more special?
I think the enforced break was good for us in that it allowed us to have a little bit of time off players and staff, because we did a really busy schedule prior to it, and we've got an unbelievably congested fixture list following the final as well. The truth for me at the moment is it just feels like a normal week, because there's a lot of consistency about our approach and our preparation. We're always based here. It's just continuing things as we would normally, and we're also facing a team from our own league. I think the special aspect of this weekend will probably only hit home when we start to travel south on Saturday morning as well. So I'm looking forward to it, but I have said this often enough, I just always view it as my job, and my job is to try and bring success to the club, and Sunday is another challenge for me to try and do that.
And while you've been very competitive in the league, fourth place, you know, automatic promotion is still a possibility. Is there more of a spring in the step of those players who want to force their way into your thinking for a Wembley final?
Well, I think what we've done is we've managed to create a culture here, but the level the players train at is really good. And what they do in the training pitch every single day is at a high level, and intensity is really good. But there has been that little extra bit of quality this week. There's a little bit extra you can see that players are desperate to be involved. But the great thing for me is that by and large this season I've had players that have been desperate to be involved in every game. So the disappointment that any player would feel from not being involved on Sunday, I would suggest that they'll feel that just as much if they're not involved at Accrington on Wednesday, because there's a lot of players wanting to play in the team because it's a good club to play for when you're in good form and playing well. So I've enjoyed training this week. The players have worked really hard. Because of the little break we had before, it's allowed us to ramp up what we do, and also the reality for us is that it's going to be the last week we get to do this, because looking at the schedule that lies ahead, we're not going to change very much between now and the end of the season. So this week has been really beneficial in that sense.
Your season last season ended obviously in success in a trophy celebration at St Mirren. How would this compare given the rebuilding job that was needed here at Sunderland in the summer?
I think as a player, so if you're a player, coach, manager, and you're involved in the professional aspect of the game, I think you grow to learn that the opportunity to win silverware and write yourself in part of the history of the club, so they don't come around that often unless you're very fortunate. There's a lot of good players, coaches, managers that operate at a really good level for a number of years and they don't win anything. And that's not a slight on their abilities, it's just sometimes they watch out. So what we've got fairly quickly is an opportunity to actually win a trophy. A winner's medal, and I don't care what the title is before that. I don't think you can ever turn your nose up at that, because the truth, as I said, is you might get 10 opportunities to do that in your career, you might only get one, and so we've got to try and make the most of this one that will come along on Sunday.
Jack, just in terms of squad, for example, Will Grigg didn't play international games, that sort of thing. What's it looking like? Have you got any injury concerns, or are you okay?
Obviously, Duncan Watmore will most likely miss the rest of the season. Chris Maguire is making good progress from his leg break, but Sunday will come too quickly for him. Will should be okay. He did a lot of work with our staff members today, didn't train properly, but he should train over the next couple of days. And the only one we have an issue with is Adam Matthews. He came off late in our last league match. We'll still be a doubt for Sunday at this stage. We'll assess him over the next day or so again. And other than that, I think we're fit and healthy.
All season long, I suppose you and Portsmouth have been in this little group fighting at the top. So, I mean, you know that they're going to be formidable opponents.
Yeah, a team that has enjoyed a good season today, a really good season today. Both ourselves and Portsmouth have had to do that, because when you see the seasons that Barnsley and Luton have enjoyed and the pace they've set, consistently at the top end of the table, we've had to ensure we stay there or thereabouts. So I think those four teams, including ourselves, are good sides. They're there on merit. They don't put together the types of runs each of these teams have done this season without having good players and good staff. And it's as tough a final as it could be for us, but I'm sure they would say the same. It means that I've talked about having to earn how hard you have to work to win this competition, and to win it, that final hurdle is a really tough one to overcome as well.
Just one of those factors, I suppose, the fans. You've seen 46,000 on Boxing Day, you've seen thousands follow you up and down the country. How pleased are you after what they've been through that you've given them this weekend, you've given them the chance to have their cheesy chips on Wembley Way and go down and enjoy it?
Yeah, it's the first part of probably rewarding them for the loyalty and commitment. A lot of that commitment was shown before a ball was even kicked this season, and a lot of that was done with a large degree of the unknown as well, because of everything, the transition the club was going through during the summer period. Hopefully at times through the league campaign we've rewarded that loyalty, but this Sunday allows us to give them, so at the moment it's giving this fan base a weekend or a day out. The next stage for us is to win the trophy again, because I know they'll go and enjoy the occasion, but they'll only really enjoy it if we win. For us, the incentive is not to make, is to make sure that Full Time Whistle goes and they remain in the stadium, because they're celebrating winning the trophy. And if we do that, it's a starting point. It by no means makes up for the disappointments of recent times, but it's a start. You know, it's a step forward in the right direction.
Jack, there's a butcher in town that are making cup final sausages, and named after some of your players. And I think you've got one as well. It's called Ross the Boss Banger. Have you had a chance to try it? Will you try it?
No, I was made aware of this yesterday. Actually, yeah. Kate made me aware of it. So I'm going to. And I'm not just saying this for effect, that I'm actually scheduled to go and visit the butchers soon, the first opportunity I get. And I do believe that the ingredients offer are chilli and iron brew. Is that right? And I'd be incredibly disappointed if it's not deep fried.
Chilli and iron brew sausages, not for me. Not sure what flavour sausage Lee Catamore was, but anyway, here he is also speaking to the media ahead of Sunderland's match at Wembley on Sunday.
Lee, for a man who's been here the last few years through all the turbulence and what's gone on, what does this final represent?
I think what we're getting on Sunday is rewards for what we've done from the start of the season. I think starting with the manager in pre-season, the new ownership, I think we worked really hard throughout pre-season, and yeah, I think this is rewards for that. I think we've really respected the competition. I'm not sure exactly how many games it is, but it's over 10 games we've played. We've had under 23 teams, we've had away trips to Morecambe, and it's been really difficult. We've done our homework on every team, and we treat every game exactly the same. Want to keep momentum going. Hopefully on Sunday we just get our rewards on Sunday and go and win the final.
I think the manager was under no uncertain terms. He was told that in this competition to play a strong team because the new owners wanted the day out in Wembley for the fans. Does it justify it, the fact you're there now and you've got this to look forward to?
Yeah, I think for us as a club, for someone who's been here as long as I have, I think it's a rebuilding. It's building that relationship with the fans. I think we've done it all season very well. I think we've done great stuff with the fans on home games. We've had massive attendances and it's had a real good feeling about the place, and anything else we can do to keep adding to that and building that real good, strong relationship with the fans is just exactly what we're after doing. And like I say, we've worked hard as a club, out in the communities, as players, done more than that than ever this year. Just rebuilding that relationship. And like I say, this could be the icing on the cake on Sunday to do that. Do that for the supporters and do that for the whole football club, because it'll be a big game on Sunday. Two big football teams and it'll be tense. So it's a game we're really looking forward to.
It's going to be some event. I mean, to think almost, I think, 80,000 tickets sold for a match. Like
so quick as well.
Like this. Yeah, I mean, it's unbelievable. Can you picture just, well, obviously you played a few years ago down when in the Carling Cup final, but can you picture what it's going to be like should you lift the trophy?
Well, yeah, it's obviously something we hope we find out. It's a game which everyone says it's a good day out to enjoy it, but I believe you only do that if you win the game. I've not really mentioned the Carabao Cup final against Man City. I've never talked about it. It's not a game which you look back at and think, what a great day, because we didn't win the cup. So hopefully we get a different outlook on this one, and hopefully it's something we can talk about for years to come, because it's a big game. It's two big football teams. The atmosphere is going to be electric, and it's going to be a great game. And you know, two form teams in the league as well. So yeah, hopefully we'll come out as winners.
And just for you personally, I guess there could have been chances for you to leave when the team started falling down the divisions. Does this justify everything when you've got a match like this and make you realise this was the reason why you stayed?
Yeah, I think for a player, when things aren't going well, and obviously for what's happened, I think it's been very public in terms of the documentaries and things that's gone on. For the club to go the way it's gone, I think it's natural that your players who played in the Premier League might leave the club when your club's in League One within 12 months or whatever. But you know, I had conversations with the club and I made it very clear how I felt, and they made it clear how they felt. For whatever reason, I was here to start the season, and you know, I think you can't question what I've done this season. I've been committed and I'm trying everything I can to really help the club and get to where we want to get to this year, because we're 10 games away from having a really good season. So if we can go and finish it off, which we're making great strides at doing. We've played a lot of games already this year, but you know, I think we've approached every game in the right manner. And I think that, to be fair, that starts from the manager. It starts from the manager and his staff. I think they've really set tone this season, trying to create a culture of winning games. And these are the rewards for what we've done in the Checker Trade Trophy. We've tried to keep momentum in the games, keep momentum. We've used a lot of players. Quite fortunate, we've got a bigger squad than most League One teams. But you've got to manage that, and the manager's done that great.
Lee, you've played in front of 40,000 this season, but 85-odd thousand at Wembley. That's a different matter, isn't it?
Yeah, well, I remember the last game, and it's a different feeling. You walk out, you know, I've played in a lot of derbies, and they're the ones that get you more than most games. But I remember the 2014 final, it was just that you felt heavy in the warm-up, you felt leggy, you felt quite drained. But once it went off, it was great, you know. Once the game started, it was work mode. Everything else just came back to normal. So hopefully we'll handle the occasion well. We'll prepare right. Yeah, we'll go there in good form, good feeling about the whole club, and we'll all go down there as a city and really enjoy the weekend.
Are there things you can tell some of the younger lads about that experience, how to kind of cope with the occasion, if you like?
Yeah, I think we'll try to in the dressing room. We'll try to just approach it how we do every game. We've got a lot of lads in the club who've got a lot of games, a lot of experience behind them. Quite a lot of players have played there, to be fair. But as a player, you try, and I think a lot of players will find their own way of dealing with it, and hopefully we deal with it right.
And in terms of, hopefully you'll get promoted automatically, but I mean, it could almost be a dress rehearsal for a playoff final, couldn't it?
Could be, yeah, it could be. You know, obviously, it's going to be a great finish to the season. We've made it clear we've got 10 cup finals to go before the end of the season, and we're not going to approach any game different to anything else, what we've got left. So if we can get through the game Sunday, and then, like you say, 9 cup finals to go, and it's all in our hands, and we're confident as a group that we can go on and get the automatic. But if it means going through the playoffs, we'll have to do that. But we're determined to go.
obviously the fans have lived through it the last few years as well. Are you pleased with the fans that they've got this weekend that hopefully they can go and enjoy?
Yeah, delighted for them because we've always had great support my whole time here. The fans have been brilliant and have always got behind the team, and I don't think you can really kid fans, and I think that's why they spot it if there's something not right. But I think this season they can see, if for whatever reason we don't finish the season off the way it wanted to be, it's not going to be through a lack of effort and commitment from the players, the boys. I think everyone's bang at it. I think they have been all season, and I think as a whole, I think the club must be delighted. And you know, I know how I feel going home after games as a player, and I'm sure the fans feel exactly the same going home to their families. And you know, hopefully we can be something to be proud of come the end of the season.
This is the official EFL podcast.
Lee Catamol speaking there now. One man who knows just what it's like to win the Checkatrade Trophy is Danny Cowley. He's been speaking about guiding Lincoln to their first success at Wembley and the importance of the competition.
Well, I think we were just pleased for the supporters. It's always for us, our support has been unbelievable, and the support that we've had since the day we arrived has been completely unconditional. So we'd given them a really good season in our first year, having won the National League and getting to the quarterfinal of the FA Cup. We actually were a game away from getting to Wembley because we'd lost in the semi-final of the FA Trophy that year. So we knew it was really important for the supporters to get to Wembley. They'd been really unlucky as a club not to go to Wembley before, because even when they'd got to the playoff finals, the old Wembley was no more, and we were between Wembleys, and they went to Cardiff to play the playoff final. So we knew it was something that we wanted to do, and we knew it was an opportunity to make some more history. And for us, it was always trying to back up what we'd done the previous year by trying to have another successful season, and getting to Wembley allowed us to do that.
I think 2/3 of the crowd were Lincoln supporters, weren't they?
Yes, took nearly 30,000 to Wembley, which is amazing, and it just says how important Lincoln is to the people. Being an Essex boy, you kind of move to Lincoln, and Lincoln geographically for an Essex boy is in the middle of nowhere. But it's amazing that the fact that we are a little bit off the beaten track, as it were, it's amazing how the people have such an allegiance for the football club and also for the city, and are so proud to be Lincoln, and so proud to be from Lincolnshire. So that's really powerful to us. I think that's, you know, I think you look at every football club and they all have sort of a unique selling point, and ours is certainly the allegiance that people have with a club, and that's something that we've really tried to tap into. And we've got an amazing connection with our supporters. And when we won the National League, as a non-league team, there were 35,000 people on the streets when we had our open bus tour around the city. And again, at the Checkatrade Trophy final, we were able to take around 30,000 people. We actually stayed in London, stayed in Wembley overnight after the game. And I remember waking up in the morning, I wanted to take the kids swimming, and my little George didn't have any swimming trunks. I thought I'd quickly nip out to the shops and pick him up a pair of swimming shorts, and then we'd have a swim. And we went out, and literally the people of Lincoln had taken over Wembley, and we got to the shops, and it was just chaos, crazy, just so many Lincoln people around. And what should have took about 5 minutes to pick up a pair of swimming shorts took us about 3 hours. But it was a great time and a great opportunity to share the success that we'd had the day before with our brilliant supporters.
What was the atmosphere like in the stadium? Because I think you guys won, but I think you were still in there an hour after you lifted the trophy, because everyone was just getting on the pitch, like taking photos.
Yeah, it was good. It was really good. It was great. It was just a brilliant opportunity. It was great to get to Wembley. That was a fantastic achievement in itself. But once you're there, you want to win. And we knew it would be really tough, and we were the underdogs against a very good Shrewsbury team. So to be able to win as underdogs at Wembley was a pretty special feeling. And we enjoyed the celebrations with our supporters thereafter.
And was there the success, not just, it was obviously noticeable in the Lincoln supporters, but is it wider than that? Like, wider Lincoln community, the people that weren't really coming to the games, did you notice that everyone was experiencing that?
I think so. I think the FA Cup run that we had the year before, and certainly the Checkatrade Trophy run, what it does is it creates moments for particularly our young supporters. And you know, these moments are really important, because the young supporters have these memories, and they have this affiliation with a team off the back of the memories, and it's definitely created more and more Lincoln City supporters. We've got a wonderful group of supporters that are a certain age that have followed the club throughout their lives, and it's definitely, it was great to be able to give them a really proud moment. It's also really important for the younger supporters and the younger generation. And, you know, when Nicky and I come in, I remember speaking to a young child at a soccer school. It was a Lincoln City soccer school, and he was the only person there with a Lincoln City kit on. And I remember speaking to him, and he was about 10, 11 years of age, and he almost explained that he was embarrassed to support Lincoln, and it was almost like it was... He was explaining about being in a playground and his friends supporting Man United and Chelsea and Arsenal and Manchester City, and it almost wasn't cool to support Lincoln. And that was our challenge, to try to just to connect with the young people and try to sell this level of football. Maybe we can't perform like Premier League players and give them Premier League quality performances, but certainly we can offer something different, and we can have a connection with them and find a time for them and get out in the community. And our players have been brilliant in doing that. We've been really good at getting out into the schools and meeting the people and seeing the people and just creating a connection. And it's been a big part of the success that we've had, because the journey we've been on has never been about just 11 footballers. It's been about a whole city, a whole club, everybody contributing and everybody playing their part. The prize money in the Checker Trade Trophy is a massive incentive for clubs of our size. We've made really good money throughout the rounds, and obviously being able to get to Wembley and having some of the gate receipts as well. The chief executive doesn't tell me quite how much we made out of that, but I'm sure it was good money, and I'm sure it's certainly helped the club, and it's helped us in terms of recruitment. The Checker Trade Trophy money and the FA Cup money has allowed us to be able to build our own training ground. We were training at a school and at an army barracks, and between the two, having to travel out from our ground to training. But from the prize money we've gained in both the FA Cup and the Checker Trade Trophy, we've been able to buy a piece of land and to build a training ground on it. And, you know, I have to credit the board of directors for their foresight and for their willingness to put the money back into the development of the club and to the development of the team. And it's going to be huge for us. You know, if we want to go to where we want to go, and there's lots of headroom here at Lincoln, but if we want to achieve what we want to achieve, then to have our own training ground and be able to develop players individually and the team collectively is going to be a crucial part of that. I think it's a really good competition, and I know that it's received some bad press, and I understand that the supporters in the lower leagues want to protect the game in the lower leagues, but the FA and the Football League are not silly. They know that we've got a wonderful infrastructure in England in terms of our clubs and in terms of our divisions. You know, you look at our infrastructure and our pyramid, and I've managed from step five of non-league all the way through now to League Two, and it's without doubt the best in the world. So why would the Football League or why would the FA ever want to influence that or change that? We've got a brilliant infrastructure, the best depth in the world in terms of our football, and the Checker Trade Trophy is just a great competition. It's a really good opportunity for us to continue to develop young players. It's a great opportunity for some of the young players at the top clubs to be able to experience first team football for the first time. It's a really good opportunity for clubs in League Two to compete against these players. And it really gives the young players a pathway, and as well as that, it gives the clubs in the lower leagues an opportunity to earn prize money and maybe have a trip to Wembley off the back of it. So it's a brilliant competition, one we really enjoy and feel really privileged to be a part of.
Danny Cowley speaking there. Of course, the competition is also a platform for young players to impress in first-team football. In fact, before making his first start for England this week, Callum Hudson-Odoi played a major part in Chelsea's run to the Checker Trade Trophy semi-finals last season. And England manager Gareth Southgate believes the competition is a great platform for up-and-coming stars.
I think, of course, every club is slightly different in their model of developing young players. Some like to keep them inside their own club, some use the loan market a lot more. And of course, when this concept was devised, this was another way for clubs that keep their players within their own club for their development to enable them to experience some senior men's football. You know, a lot of them will take their teams abroad to play to get a different style. And the Checker Trade was an opportunity for younger players to experience cup competition against hardened professionals, and you know, another opportunity for young English players in particular to develop. Really, the biggest thing for me is that you're stepping out of your comfort zone. You grow up playing against guys of your own age all your life, and you normally grow up in a certain area of the country, and you've played against all of those guys, you know, under 15, under 16, under 18, right the way through. So you know pretty much everything about them. Physically, the level of challenge is similar, which is important when you're younger. But there's a comfort in knowing the opponent and not being tested in different ways. And very often at academy level, the style of football can be quite similar as well. So for development, you've got to have different types of experiences, and you need games that are at a level that you can handle, and you need games that stretch you, and the balance of that's important. And I think playing in the Checkatrade competition allows some of those young players who aren't experiencing being stretched at their own age group to be stretched, and as has been proved by results, not easy for those young players to succeed. Very often when something first starts, some people will dip their toes in and go with it, and others will take a step back and see how it develops and see whether it's something they feel is of benefit to them. So if some of those clubs are now coming in a couple of years down the line, they must see a benefit for their young players and recognise that the more opportunity they get to play their young players in first team football, and they can do this while keeping them at their own club so that they're in control of their coaching programme and the way that they're developed Monday to Friday. So yeah, I think clubs are trying to be as creative as they can with the games programme, because I go back to, you can learn a certain amount on the coaching pitch, but in the end, the games are the biggest opportunities to learn. We have several major challenges within the modern game. One is that the academy environment, we try to provide the best of everything, speaking generally. And because of the way all sports are meticulous in investing and preparing and trying to find out the latest cutting edge technology, the environment can sometimes lose a bit of hunger. You know, if I think of a boxing gym, you know, it's a hungry, raw environment, and it's not necessarily about having the best facilities at a young age. A quote that I heard once really stuck with me: world-class facilities for world-class players is fine, or world-class talents, but actually when you're on your way up, maybe a rawness and a hunger is more important, and you earn the right to use the better facilities. There's a balance with that, because we have to have areas that are safe, and you want pitches that you can get on every week, and so we still want to keep investing. And then the other biggest, you know, the biggest challenge we face in English football is because of the financial success of our league in the higher levels, and even now, because teams coming down to the Championship have a lot of financial clout, opportunities for young English players are getting rarer and rarer. And there's two parts to that. One, we have to think strategically about how we can improve that. But secondly, there's a challenge for the players, because they're now competing. 15, 20 years ago, you were competing with the best players in Scotland and Ireland and Wales, and probably 80% of the league was British. Now you've got to be as good as players from all around the world to get an opportunity. So your focus and your dedication to the sport has got to be spot on. Otherwise, you have no chance of getting there. You know, the AFL have already started by trying to put some stipulation on an academy product in their match day squad, and slowly started to try and affect things with some rule changes, as well as the Checkatrade competition. And you know, we have to welcome that as a governing body. I think any opportunity we can to get, we're world champions at under 17s, under 20s. We've been World Cup semi-finalists this year. It is not correct to say we don't have talent in this country. So young people need opportunity in any walk of life to succeed. You need somebody to believe in you and to give you an opportunity. And at the moment, we're not giving enough of those opportunities to our young footballers. And ours have proved that they are as talented as any of the other players around Europe and around the world. But for them to be able to develop, they've got to play in, first of all, first team football, and then hopefully in big matches under pressure that help them to develop the skills, mental and tactical, that they need to be a top talent. I think with cup competitions, you have the opportunity to try things. Last year, VAR was trialled in the FA Cup, and wasn't an immediate success. There was a lot of, you know, dismissive comments, but you knew that there would always be some difficulties when you start something new, and there'd always be some negativity around that. But once you give things time and they're allowed to work through a little bit and maybe tweaked and changed slightly, then there's an opportunity to make a difference. And, you know, we'd still be doing the things that we were doing 50, 60 years ago and travelling in the way we did and socialising in the way we did if people weren't brave enough to try new things. So there's always a difficult balance, especially in football. Our football pyramid is unique, really, in its strength and the fan base that we have and the passion of individual towns to support their team, whether that's in the league or in the non-league. But we've got to keep that balance of tradition and progression and try and do both. Well, I think we saw the power of a national team that are having a good tournament in the summer, and that had a wider effect than just football. So hopefully that put in people's minds what that can feel like for us as a country and the difference that can make. And we do have a significant problem with opportunities for young players. So for people to be thinking creatively about how we resolve that situation, as the EFL have with the Chequered Trade competition, as a governing body, we welcome that. You know, we've got to try to approach things differently. We can't just complain about the problem and not try and affect it in different ways. And, you know, there's been good collaboration around this competition, and I'm sure that it can continue to improve, and it's already proved important for several young players and given them opportunities that they wouldn't have had.
EFL Fixtures in Focus.
Now, this weekend also marks the return of the Sky Bet Championship following the international break. Joining us to preview some of our featured games are Sky Sports pundits Andy Hinchcliffe and Don Goodman. Andy, we'll start with you. You're at West Brom versus Birmingham on Friday night. Two teams in slightly different circumstances, but both in difficult situations going into the final stage of the season, going into the running.
It is a key game. Clearly, you'd rather be West Brom than Birmingham at the moment with that points deduction. And Birmingham now have a relegation battle on their hands. They're not in great form. They've lost their last four. But for West Brom, yeah, they've changed their coach, but they've won their last two games. We're not sure how that's going to work out, whether someone is going to come in or whether James Shan will keep the job between now and the end of the season. But a win on Friday, and West Brom are only 4 points off the top two. They're a team we haven't really talked too much about automatic promotion, but they're still in the mix. So yeah, they don't have a permanent coach at the moment, but they're still up there battling for promotion. Birmingham have had a great season, and Gary Monk has done an incredible job there considering the problems that they've had, and it's a real kick in the teeth, the points deduction. But if clubs are mismanaged, it's going to affect the coach and the players. So now there's a really big relegation battle on the hands for Birmingham, which is a shame considering how hard they've worked this season.
Don, you've played in this match. What's it like in terms of the atmosphere, well, especially now with so much at stake?
Yeah, I mean, despite the fact that it's not the primary derby for either of these two clubs in this day and age, it's still a huge game, and obviously the fans will be up for it, and so will the players. And it's a massive game, as Tinchy's already just pointed out, for very different reasons now. I mean, look, West Bromwich Albion, I think we were all a little bit shocked when they relieved Darren Moore of his duties. The powers that be will point to the fact that they've had two positive results in two games since. But I think they had a plan, and it's possibly gone a little bit wrong. I think they felt that they would have somebody in more or less straight away into the hot seat. And it just, for whatever reason, hasn't transpired that way. So there is a pressure on West Brom, having made that decision, for them to A, at least secure a playoff spot, and B, if they are in the playoffs, win the playoffs.
Back to you, Andy. Four defeats in a row for Birmingham. How crucial is it, especially in the situation that they're in now, that they get back to winning form sooner rather than later?
Well, that's the big problem for them. They haven't won in the last four games, haven't scored in the last four games, which is a surprise considering the way that Trey Adams and Lukas Jukovic have played this season. But I've watched those four games, and actually they still created a lot of chances. They just simply haven't taken them. So they're not playing that badly. They're just not scoring goals. But that's one thing. When you're in poor form, when you're kind of mid-table-ish, there's no real threat of relegation, you can go through a bit of a dip like this. It's not really going to affect you that much. It's still a decent season. But suddenly, the 9-point deduction, being in poor form now, going into a relegation battle, tough game against West Brom. They've got Wigan, Ipswich, Rotherham and Reading to play in the run-in, Sheffield United and Leeds in there as well. So suddenly, it's a really difficult run-in. They've got a relegation battle and they're not in good form either. So it's kind of all come at the wrong time, that perfect storm of not being in great form, the points deduction, the games they've got to come. And this is why it's really important now Gary Monk kind of galvanises that team. Try and use maybe the points deduction as a way of motivating the players to say, look, we're not going to get dragged down by this. We're going to stand up and we're going to sort things out. It's going to be tricky, but the way that Gary has really worked with that squad this season, how close they've been in terms of a coach and player relationship, they really need it now and they need a big result on Friday.
And of course, there's been that uncertainty at West Brom after Darren Moore's sacking, but James Shan has done really well winning both his games in charge and caretaker charge, hasn't he?
Well, that's it. Well, when Darren left, obviously there was the talk about why he'd left, but they lost to Sheffield United, the manner in which they lost to Leeds. They were really battered at Elland Road and then drawing at home to an Ipswich side. OK, they were bottom of the league, but they're in decent form. So I think it's those three results that maybe hastened the exit of Darren Moore. Maybe the owners were a bit disappointed in kind of the style of play. It wasn't guaranteeing them a top two finish. So they decided to make the change. We all thought maybe Jukanovic was coming in, you know, a high-profile appointment. That hasn't worked out. We thought it might have done over the international break. But James Shan, in essence, he's the first team coach, but he's won those two games, which West Brom needed if they are to challenge for promotion. But it's strange, in those two games, they've virtually played in the same way they played under Darren Moore. It's pretty unsurprising because James Shan obviously worked with Darren, counter-attacking, same formation, creating a lot of chances. The opposition had a lot of chances and Sam Johnston was the standout player in those two games. So against Swansea and Brentford, it could have gone very differently. But at this stage of the season, when you've just sacked a manager, for the caretaker to win back-to-back games, that's all West Brom really wanted. And there's a very good chance that James Shan might actually get the job between now and the end of the season. And the sooner he knows that, then he can plan for presumably a playoff campaign. He needs to know what's going on more than anybody else.
Well, like you say, they're well in a shout with getting the job, especially with a win on Friday night.
Well, this is it. If they were to win again and win three games on the bounce, I feel he would say, well, look, again, he'll maybe force the issue a little bit and say, well, I need to know what's going on now. He probably felt he was doing the club a favour when Darren left. He was presuming maybe a higher profile guy would be coming in. There's so many names mentioned, and understandably so, because West Brom are still fourth in the league, great chance of going up, good squad. So a lot of high-profile coaches will want that job. But if they don't sort it out with somebody else and James wins again on Friday, he's got every right to go to the owners and say, look, I've done as much as I can do here. We're in with a good chance of getting promotion. I can be the guy that can actually make it happen. So it might well be down to him to actually change his thinking and force the issue and put pressure on the owners to make a decision one way or the other.
Now, moving on to you, Don, you're at Middlesbrough against Norwich. I mean, for Tony Pulis, hasn't won in four now. Tough ask for them. You know, there is a big worry now that they'll miss out on the playoffs maybe in the current form.
Well, possibly. I mean, they will hope that the international break came at just the right time for them, the form that they were in. I mean, there's no doubt about it. The sort of demise in their form, they've only won two of the last eight games, has certainly allowed the pack below them to really close up. So a situation where they probably thought they had an outside chance of an automatic promotion shot with a really good winning run, you know, at the end of the season, they're now very much looking over their shoulder. And you know what, with eight games to go, they're probably scrapping it out for two playoff spots with it. Well, at least seven other teams, really, all of whom have been in better form than them and taken more points than them over the previous eight games, in which they've only took 8 points, Middlesbrough. So, you know, from somewhere, they are going to have to find wins and find results and finish the season strong. Otherwise, yeah, I mean, it would be a major surprise and a bit of a shock if they weren't to finish in the top six. But given the form that they're in, and the form that others around them are in, it's a major possibility.
And based on form, they couldn't really come up against a more difficult team in Norwich, could they? Six wins on the spin for them. I mean, is there any stopping Daniel Farke's team at the moment?
Well, I think it's theirs to lose now. And I do believe the defining game was when they went to Elland Road and beat Leeds United 3-1 and thoroughly deserved it. I remember leaving Elland Road that evening believing that Norwich would be one of the two teams that would be automatically promoted. And since that game, they've won seven out of the eight games. So they're going into this full of confidence. This is their last game against a major rival, if you like, in terms of a team that is up there in the top six. You know, all the other, or most of the other games are against sort of some of the teams that are struggling a little bit, and they've already shown how ruthless that they can be against those types of teams in the last 6 weeks or so. So it's all in their favour. They will approach the game in exactly the same way, and they'll believe that they can go to the Riverside, where Middlesbrough really, really have struggled. That's one of the reasons that they didn't mount an automatic challenge. It's their home form, and Norwich, of course, have the best, or taking the most points away from home of anybody. So it's all set up for them nicely, and if they can get that victory and keep that cushion between third place, you know, I would definitely fancy them to be one of those top two.
You touched on this earlier, but who did the international break benefit the most in this case? I'm guessing you're going to say Borough, because of the fact that Norwich won't have wanted to end that winning form, will they?
No, they had a nice rhythm, a confidence, and of course it's all a question of some players going away on international duty and coming back, and how's the travelling affected them, etc., etc. But yeah, when you're in a poor run of form, I think a break, it certainly doesn't hinder it, you know. If anything, it will help you. But when you're winning games, as Norwich were, then you just want to keep going. And obviously, the prize at the end of these next eight games is absolutely enormous for Norwich City and everybody connected with them. Who, I mean, let's face it, I don't honestly believe that they imagined that they could have such a season and challenge for automatic promotion before a ball was kicked. I think the aim might have been a tentative push at a playoff spot. So it's been a remarkable season, and they deserve all the credit and all the praise that's being heaped on Norwich City.
But playing last for both teams as well, does that ramp up the pressure on them? Well, on Middlesbrough especially, I suppose.
Well, yeah, I mean, by the time Middlesbrough kick off, they possibly could be outside the playoff spots, which 6 weeks ago was probably unthinkable, really. So it certainly will ramp up the pressure on Middlesbrough. I think Norwich City, they've got this 5-point cushion to Leeds United, so they know they're in the wonderful and envious position at this stage of the season, knowing that even if they do lose, they're still going to be top of the table, and they're still going to be in pole position going into a run of games against out of sorts Queen's Park Rangers, Reading at home, and Wigan. So those are the next three games for them after the Middlesbrough test. So I think they have, because of this brilliant run of form that they've had, that cushion is really, really vital, and it should give them the confidence to go and perform at Middlesbrough. But if it doesn't, they know that they've got three very, very winnable games coming their way following that.
And coming back to you, Andy, I mean, Sheffield United and Leeds, of course, back in action this weekend after the Sheffield United win at Elland Road. Both of them home matches, Sheffield United taking on Bristol City and Millwall for Leeds United. How will the international break have affected those sides on the back of that result at Elland Road that we saw?
I'm sure they will have used it to have a good rest. But interestingly, I was on a plane flying out to Portugal directly after that game, and Calvin Phillips was on the flight as well. So clearly Leeds players have been given some time off. And I said to him, we just passed each other in the aisle, I said about the game against Sheffield United. And he was very philosophical, said, well, clearly should probably have been a draw. They took their chance. We missed ours. I think his attitude really kind of epitomises the attitude of the coaches and the clubs. There's no panic. It is just one game. It could have gone very differently. It wasn't as if one side completely outplayed the other. And there's a lot of football to be played. So they'll just get back to doing what they do best and playing with real consistency. That's why Leeds and Sheffield United have been in the mix this season. That win, lose or draw, there is no panic. There is a philosophy. The players clearly know it, as Calvin Phillips' attitude tells you. And they'll have got some rest, but you can know for sure that in the lead up to their games this weekend, they'll be right back at it. They'll be playing with the intensity that Chris and Marcelo want from their team. So I've got no doubts at all they'll get back, both probably win those home games, and they'll put that game into perspective, put it behind them very quickly, and won't get too carried away. Sheffield United won it, but they won't get carried away. Leeds lost it, but they won't be kind of doom and gloom because they've won, you know, they've lost one game against one of their major rivals. It's all about getting back on track very quickly and not panicking or doing anything daft. There's no need to at this stage of the season for those two clubs. Their success has been built on just grinding out the same kind of performances, same results week in and week out. And I'm sure that's going to continue again this weekend.
Yes, so the Championship back in full swing this weekend. Andy, Don, thank you both very much for joining us. That's it from me this week. Join us again next time when we'll have all the reaction from that Chequered Trophy final. See you then.
The official EFL podcast. The best reaction to all the match action. Available every week.